Okay, good evening, gentlemen. We continue the Rambam, Perek Chaf Hei, Hilchos Shabbos, Halacha Yud Beis, Chapter 25, Law 12, in the Masnayim text. We're on page 246. Man, it's so clear when you have contacts and reading glasses. It's like unbelievable. It looks like a different book.
It is a different book, right? Why is this in the
same big letters.
Okay, Yud Beis. Kol HaKelim. Hanitlin v'Shabbos, any utensils that can be carried on Shabbos, shenisparku dalsosem, that their doors to them are broken. Kigon, for example, dalso shita tevo migdol, the doors of a box, a chest, or a cabinet, movable ones. Okay, movable ones. Let's say a little box that holds chves, a little. It's a bread basket, bread box.
Bread
I don't know.
Okay.
And then you have a shelf, a little shelf. You can open it up and close it, whatever. Things like that. Anyway, so now those things, they break. The door breaks. Now, when do they break? So look carefully at the wording here. Bein shenisgar perku b'Shabbos, regardless of breaks on Shabbos.
Or?
Bein shenisparku koidim b'Shabbos. Or if it breaks before Shabbos.
You can use them.
Mutter l'talit and also dalsos. You're allowed to carry those doors.
Wow.
Okay, we'll see in a minute why. Now, next. Kol ha-kelim. In other words, you could put the door right back. This question fell off. Let's say a screw fell off and it broke. And so you, after Shabbos, you'll be able to put that door back on the thing. The door is fully functional and the utensil will take the door very gladly. But the second scenario is a little different. And also any utensils that could be carried on Shabbos, shenishbru, that broke now, not that it says before that the door came off, but it broke mamish. Bein kodem ha-Shabbos, regardless of it broke before Shabbos, bein b'Shabbos, regardless of it broke on Shabbos. Shivreim nitolim, the pieces can be carried. However, here there's a qualification. As long as the broken pieces can do, now here's a little bit tricky what this word here means. Me'ein malachtom, similar to its use that it had beforehand. Now, that's what that word seems to say. Me'ein malachtom, similar to the use of beforehand. Now, there's a problem with that translation over there. Because there's a Mishnah in Shabbos discusses this issue. And it's a machlokes, if it breaks. The first opinion over there of the Tanakhama says, if it's broken, it can be carried, provided it can be used for any constructive purpose. If the broken piece can be used for any constructive purpose, that's the Tanakhama's opinion. So it's not muktzah. Well, Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says, no, the broken piece won't be carried when it can be used for a purpose that resembles the original intent of the original utensil of which it was a purpose for. Very interesting. So, if you look at the wording of this Rambam, what would it tend to be going like? Me'ein malach tom.
Like its use.
Like its use. We'll see if you're following Rabbi Yehuda's opinion.
Yeah, sure does.
Right? So the problem is the examples that the Rambam is going to give doesn't fit according to that translation. That's problem number one. There's a second issue at hand over here that we have to understand. When an article breaks on Shabbos and it's no longer fit for the original use anymore, there's a problem. And again, there's a machlokas over here that goes back into the Gemara. There is an issue that we'll learn in much greater detail later on in the Rambam. There's a muksa that is called nolad.
New creation.
You know, let's say a chicken lays an egg on Shabbos.
Yeah.
Right now, an egg per se is not necessarily muksa.
But that egg is.
But the egg that got laid, because you weren't, that egg wasn't around when Shabbos came. You weren't planning on using that egg, as it were. So that's a clear case of nolad. And since it's now, the issue here is, do we say nolad when a utensil breaks, and now the piece of that utensil can be used for a new use that it couldn't have been used beforehand, Because now that it's broken, you have a piece of pottery that's broken. Now, it was a cup, it was holding water.
Now it's a spoon. Knife.
But now it's whatever it is, right? It's a different use.
There seems to be a distinction here, because one could envisage something having a use and a secondary use, and then it can't use the first use, but you can still use the second.
A cup made out of enamel has one use, to hold water. This cup shatters. There's 10 pieces. These pieces are not going to hold any water. Right. Now, what could we do? Could plug up a bottle of wine, maybe. You could use it to cut a piece of challah. I mean, whatever. Whatever you'll find a use, but that's clearly a brand new use.
I guess my question is, Rabbi, that the original cup could be used to hold paper down, and the pieces of cup could also be used.
Okay, I'm saying where it doesn't. It's a brand new use. It's not the same use.
No,
so that's if it's similar to the original use, then it wouldn't be nolad, because it can be used for that as well.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Right. Let's say you had a big cutting board, and the cutting board now broke in half. Mm. Guess what? It'll be a small cutting board. You can still cut. You can't cut a huge roast. You can cut a small roast. It's still a cutting board, right? So there's a whole big problems in the Gemara. So the prevailing halacha is that no items that are nolad are permitted to be moved on Shabbos. This kind of nolad.
Right.
This kind of nolad. But not on Yontif. Okay? So, so you gotta understand, well, I don't have enough time to get into it right now.
It's usually the other way around.
I understand, but this time not. But anyway,
but now
when you look at the Rambam, look at the examples that the Rambam gives, doesn't seem to go with the word Me'ein Malachtam. That's why there's all kinds of arguments exactly what is the proper girsa in this Rambam for this word over here. Because look at the examples that he gives. Ketzad, Shivrei Areva. A kneading trough that's broken out. Pieces of a kneading trough. Now, what do you do with a kneading trough?
Make dough.
You make challah. Now you want to do lechasos b'mispiachavis to cover the opening of a jug. Right? Then that's okay. So you see, Rambam himself is saying it doesn't have to be similar to its original use. Shivrei schuchas, broken pieces of glass. What are you going to use it for now? Lechasos b'mispiachach. It's going to cover the mouth of a pitcher. Or anything similar to that. Okay, avolimein ashrem rim lamlocha klav. What if the piece have no use at all? Then also letalkum, then you cannot carry them anymore. Why? Because they have no use at all, no different than rocks. They have no use at all. Oh, so if it is dangerous, then obviously, and it could hurt people, you can move it, and then there'll be different ways how to move it. You should move it kalach or yad. We didn't get into that yet. If there's no other way to move it, you could even move it to your hand, so nobody should get hurt from it. Right. But it really doesn't have any functionality, and aside from that reason, you could not move it.
What if your screw falls out of your glass?
We're going to give a whole bunch of examples soon.
Did we?
Rabbi, do you want to say that the purposes that the Rambam gave, could it be used by the original item as well when it was bigger? It could cover the...
Well, that for sure would be okay. He's giving you even the thing that's more removed. But if it's similar to what it could be used, there's no argument.
Because I thought the whole issue was, is Rambam agreeing with Rabbi Yehuda or the Tanakh?
No, Rabbi Yehuda seems to be the much stricter, is the stricter view. He's saying it has to be similar to its original use.
What I'm saying is, could the Rambam not be saying that it's also similar, what he's suggesting?
This is not similar. A kneading trough is only made for kneading challah. You don't use a kneading trough to cover up a barrel. No, I'm sorry. You don't.
It couldn't, though?
No. No one would use a kneading trough for that.
No, but would you be able physically to cover it?
No, but that's not what it's for. That's not what it's for. A glass, you don't, you're not using it to cover up. That's not what it's there for. It's not used to cover up a pitcher.
I guess I'm just asking, would it be an available use for it before it's broken?
Nobody has, it's not even akin to its use. It's not akin to its use. You ask somebody, what do you use a glass for? To cover up a pitcher. Pitcher?
Oh no, I understand that.
So I'm saying, and that's what he's saying, and that's used to cover up a picture. So it's a brand new use that's coming in that you never intended on using beforehand.
But all these other things we say, like the hammers, its use isn't to crack nuts.
No, but it can very easily be used. Naturally, a hammer could be used to crack open nuts. First of all, it's a klisha malachto laser. It's a different type of a klisha. It's not broken. If you ask anybody, could you knock a nut with? Yeah. And it would be normal to do that. To put a piece of glass to cover up a pitcher is not your optimal use, and not even close to an optimal use, but it is some kind of use. Right. that only now that it's broken into a little piece, now would I want to use it for that. But a hammer, I don't have to wait for the hammer to break to use it to crack open nubs. I could use it right now to crack open nubs. Now it's very interesting, if you look at the Rambam, just to be a little lumdish for a minute, if you look at the Rambam, he seems to reverse the order. He said two cases, look again. Mm-hmm. He says, if the door comes off, so you can use, it's okay. Now look at Bain, whether it came off on Shabbos,
or before Shabbos,
whether it came off before Shabbos.
And it reverses it here.
So what's the bigger Chiddush? Always the second one is the bigger Chiddush. Yeah. I mean, okay, on Shabbos I can understand, but even if before Shabbos, where I might think you couldn't use it, you can even use it on Shabbos. When we talk about the utensils that break, look at the order. Bein kodem haShabbos, bein b'Shabbos, regardless if it's before the Shabbos, regardless if it's after the Shabbos. So now he's reversing it and saying it's even on Shabbos. So what's the deal over here? So the Mephorshim explained that when we're talking about the door, so what do we say? It starts whether it broke on Shabbos or whether it broke before Shabbos. So the before Shabbos is the bigger Chiddush. Because since the door was not fixed into the thing on Shabbos, you might think it's not considered part of the utensil anymore, and therefore you couldn't carry it on Shabbos. Right. Nevertheless, since they're fit to be attached back to the original utensil, then they can be moved. On Shabbos, it's less of a chiddush because it was considered part of the utensil right before Shabbos even came. So that's what you have to say in that case. On the other hand, when an article breaks on the Shabbos and it's no longer fit for its original purpose, right? So, where does he bring this now? Where does he bring it? Is the issue of Nolad.
Right.
So now, when did Nolad come into being? Right? So then it's Bein Kodem HaShabbos. If it broke before Shabbos, then that's not Nolad. Because before Shabbos, it was ready a piece. But now it breaks on Shabbos, that's Nolad. Maybe it's a problem Nolad, so even then it's okay. So you see why they had to reverse it each way to say the bigger Chiddush. Okay, let's move on. Yud Gimel. Kol Kisuye HaKelim. All covers of utensils need Tolim B'Shabbos, you can carry them on Shabbos. However, there's one rule. Ushiyesh Toras Kli. It has to have the legality of the categorization of being a utensil. We'll see what it's excluding. Alehem, upon them. As opposed to what is not a utensil. Let's say, first of all, something that was never used as a covering for this utensil before Shabbos. It wasn't ever prepared for it to be a cover for utensil. You wouldn't put a big stone on something to cover a pot, would you?
No.
Usually not, right? Even if maybe you do it once in a while, it's not something you're going to usually do unless you would designate it before Shabbos. So we're saying it's usually used as a lid or a cover or whatever. But there's also another problem. What if what if the utensil is totally buried and connected to the ground? For whatever reason. Keep going, for example, Chavis HaTmunavars. Let's say you have a big jug, and it's totally submerged in the ground. Right? It's totally submerged in the ground. So now it really is, that's how Mephorshim explains, totally buried in the ground, doesn't come out at all. Since it's made in this manner, the rabbis are afraid we're going to have to give it the laws of things that are connected to the ground. And now we're doing things connected to the ground, there's issues of binyan, bona, building, and all these other things. And therefore, if it's totally in the ground, we have to concern ourselves about this. So now, when can we be lenient? Im yesh baksuya shelo beis achiza, if the lid has a handle, the handle says, oh, you are a utensil, and it's meant to be taken out of the ground. Okay, then metal, so you can carry it. Vimla, but if there's no handle, ain't metal, so you can't carry it, because it's too resembling something that's totally connected to the ground. And similarly, that's the utensil that's buried mamish into the ground. If half of it sticks out of the ground, then that's not a problem because we know it's out of the ground. And things that cover the ground and their purpose is to cover the ground. Boris v'charitzim, pits or charitzim are the narrow things that go across the ground like that and that you cover it up. So those ain't metal, you can't carry them because since they're covering for the earth, it's like building when you cover it and destroying it when you take it off. So therefore, you cannot carry them. Unless it has a handle. So it would be an interesting example of that. Can you move a manhole cover on Shabbos? Well, not that I think you want to, but I'm saying, could you move a manhole cover? Well, that's a different issue. But could you take it off?
This one is no handle.
Probably not.
Yeah, no handle. It's all over the ground.
Right.
But the ones with a handle, you could.
I don't know if they have handles. They don't
Some
have.
Of them do. Some of them in New York, they do.
Not the ones in Toronto.
Not the ones in Toronto.
That little hole at the end, right, so you can jimmy it open from the hole. That would be a good example of something that would be muktzah on Shabbos. Because you'd be moving that out. I don't know if any other examples that are relevant come to mind. That's the only one I could think of. Okay, now, but what about kisya tanur? What about a covering of a stove where only the bottom is connected to the ground? Afri she'en lo beis achizim, there's no handle, mutl l'tatli can clearly move them because it is certainly a utensil and is not part of the ground. Okay, let's take a look at some of the halachas now. Okie dokie, going back to the broken utensils. So that we can generally categorize broken utensils into three categories. Again, number one, the pieces are not usable. No one would use the broken pieces. And they cease to function. So that is muktzah. And what kind of muktzah is that? Machmas gufo.
Right.
It's no different than a rock, things like that. They're totally muktzah.
No use.
If the pieces are usable as before, like we said, the cutting board, that's now a smaller cutting board, then there's no, it's just like the utensil they were before, and they're not muktzah at all. It's not a problem. And again, the pieces are usable, but not as they were originally used. Let's say you had a piece of clothing and it got ripped on Shabbos. What do you do if you're, let's say you have a nice shirt on and whatever happens, you brushed against a sharp part of the chair.
Oh, no.
The whole shirt rips. You have it on your sleeve. You never have that on Shabbos? So what are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with it? You're going to throw it out, right? You're not going to fix it. You're not likely going to fix it. So what use could it be for?
Just a
rag. You could use a rag on Shabbos.
Yeah.
Right? So that would be an example of that. So if it breaks on Shabbos, it's not muktzah. If it breaks on Yontif, according to many poskim, it is muktzah. We're not going to get into the reasons for this.
Okay.
So therefore, it's a problem for the Yontif.
Now, but would the bag be considered a similar enough use to the clothing that it was?
Well, no, because again, it's the rag. The shirt was meant to cover Shelly's body. It wasn't meant to clean up spills.
Right.
But does it matter? Right.
No, we're saying that's where it's a difference, though, between Shabbos and Yontif. That will be the difference. On Yontif, you can't. Okay, we'll have to learn laws of Yontif, but because we're more strict in Nolad Halochas on Yontif than we are on Shabbos. That's just, one day we will learn the laws of Yontif. You can't learn the laws of Yontif till you're pretty familiar with the laws of Shabbos, because then you will totally get mixed up.
Oh,
so you have to, some stricter, some not stricter. If you don't know the laws of Shabbos, forget it. You're not going to appreciate it.
When Shabbos coincides with Yontif, which one takes precedence?
The laws of Shabbos.
Shabbos.
Clearly.
So then you can do these
Shabbos. Sometimes it'll work out better if Yontif comes out on Shabbos, exactly. For certain items. But
you would think logically, if you do the Shabbos ones, you're stricter and you're strict, but it doesn't sound like you
but
are.
Sometimes,
you gave us one example already, but the tree or something that you've...
Whatever. Okay, anyway, let's get to, so ripped clothing is the best example. Now, ripped scrap has to be large enough to be used, obviously, and that would have to be at least about 11 inches by 11 inches. Because if it's less than that, most people don't even keep it as a shmata. So it has to have that kind of functionality.
A hanky you can keep as that.
Let's talk about, something breaks and you throw it out. So whenever the owner throws out a broken utensil into the garbage before Shabbos, that broken utensil is muktzah.
Clearly.
Because the owner, by throwing it away, demonstrates he doesn't want to use it, and I certainly don't plan on using it on Shabbos.
No garbage picking on Shabbos.
Now, interesting though, if he throws it away on Shabbos, then he can change his mind.
Because when it entered Shabbos, it was usable.
Remember the rule is, what is it like when Shabbos starts?
Yeah.
That's the rule. So when Shabbos starts, and you threw it in the garbage can there of Shabbos, I don't plan on using it on Shabbos.
Right.
Then comes in the middle of Shabbos, I could have used it for something. Too late. But if, let's say, you threw it in the garbage can on Shabbos, then when Shabbos entered, it wasn't muktzah. Now it's only temporary. It's mikvah now. But now if you say, no, I think I have a use for it, then you can use it.
What if somebody else?
Now that's if you, right? That's somebody if, else if you discarded a broken item. That was a broken item. Yeah.
Somebody else in the house, what did you throw that away for? Like, and
he's
a mokza. Like, in their mind, I don't care what's broken. You shouldn't have thrown.
It's a good question. It depends who owns it. When they get divorced, you'll find out who owns it. The question is, if you're allowed to be the one to say it's broken, I would imagine, I would guess, in a house of with a man and a woman, and the man throws it out, and the wife says, why did you throw it out? It's like, mavatl what he did.
Yes. Like she can
hear it. Like, his
he had no right to make it. And it's, let's put it this way. From her part, it wasn't muksa.
Yeah.
She didn't make it muksa. She said, you know, where's that old pot? Oh, I threw it out. Why did you throw that pot? That's what I wanted to know how to make fish with for the last 20 minutes. It looked like it was broken. It wasn't broken. Why? So she never made it muksa. Right? So that I would assume wouldn't be a problem. Now that, if it was broken. Yeah. Now, what did you throw away? Oh, a not broken pot. It's not broken, but it's old. You say, you know what? It's
so that would be okay.
It's Shabbos. That you know, I got okay. A new pot. I'm going to get a new pot. But the old one you're throwing out is not broken. A lot of times you throw things out. They're not broken. You just want to have a new one.
It had to use
so that is not classified as muksa.
Right.
Even if you throw it up on Shabbos or before Shabbos, you can take it out of the garbage. It doesn't become muksa. Now, okay. Certain things we can skip. Doors and windows that detach from a building are muksa because the building's not a utensil. It's part of the structure. And there's issues of binyan building and things like that. So therefore, if it's detached, that makes it muksa. And that's the Rambam we learned earlier in the paragraph. If it's a door to a house, that's muksa. But for furniture and other utensils, we've said the owner will intend to reattach it. And since it's only a utensil, right? The door is not muksa, even if it normally would not be used. It's a bigger chiddush. You know, you don't plan on using that door to take a dead person on a stretcher face. I don't know, or whatever, carry something on it, right? Is not considered a broken part of the utensil. Therefore, doors of a break front, a desk, a non-built-in bookcase, a jewelry box, or other utensils, which your owner intends to reattach, are not muksa. Okay?
But let's say bookcase was built in, now you have a problem.
If it's a built-in bookcase, it's different. That's according to most poskim. On the other hand, there are other poskim who say when the door comes off, it is classified as a broken utensil. And they say if the detached door would normally be put to some type of use, then they say it's not muksa. If it wouldn't be used, then they say it is muksa. So you've got opinions to be strict on, opinions to rely on. Let's look at the applications that are very interesting over here. Okay, button comes off of your shirt.
It happens, John.
Or off your pants after a big meal, right? So, zamachlokes. Some posts can say the buttons that become detached are not muksa if you intend on reattaching them. Others say they're not considered utensils and are muksa. Zamachlokes. So therefore, it would be better to be strict.
Yeah.
But if you want, but if it's a one of a kind button, then you're going to mamish. We're going to find his button again. You have on whom to rely on. Certainly, according to everybody, we'll learn later. You could kick it with your foot and put it in a corner somewhere or something like that. Nudge it with your shoulder to get it out of the way. That would be the optimal way.
The problem is if it falls off in shul or something.
Okay,
like
so I'm saying. So again, it depends what kind of button it is. I'd say if it's a button that's easily replaceable. As a matter of fact, there's one sewn right into your
jacket.
Not on this one. But yeah, right here.
See? There it is.
You got one sewn right in, let's say. So you got another one. So what's the big deal, right? So then, but if it's mamish, you're gonna have okay. Then you could take it. So they have on whom to rely on. Now let's say, even though we said ripped clothing have other uses, if your shoes break on Shabbos, they are definitely muksa, and you have to get rid of them. How about if you have dishes?
With respect to the shoes, I mean, if they're still wearable, but like the sole's coming off, you can keep wearing them all the way home or something.
Definitely if you plan on wearing it, but if it's like totally ripped, well, it's not usable as a shoe anymore. Right. You can't say, well, I could use it to, raise, I don't know what you
cover
could
a pot.
Use.
Cover up.
You could use it to throw it at my kid who's being bad. I don't know.
So, if the shoe fits.
You can't use it for that. Now, broken dishes, if a dish chips and it's still usable, like it's slightly chipped, it's not muksa. If the owner chooses not to use chipped dishes and throws the dish out before Shabbos, can you use it or not on Shabbos?
No.
You can't change your mind because it was chipped, right? If the dish breaks and the owner's not going to use it, then the pieces are muktzah. Right. Now, what you could do is you could move the pieces to save them for repair. Let's say you want to, you know, then you'd move it like kalach or yad, you know, a different way to fix them up. Broken eyeglasses. Let's say they break, where they're unusable. Yeah. Both lenses shatter. The frame breaks in half. Then everything is muktzah. But the case where it pops out, I'm trying to remember, I think we said you could put it back in. If it's not, if I'm not mistaken.
If you're not able to pop it back in, can you carry the whole contraption?
Well, no, it shouldn't be worse than a door.
Right.
To a chest. You plan on putting it back.
Right. And it's a usable part.
Maybe you can't put it back in. It could be, repairing the cleat, but you definitely could, put it away and not lose it. Not lose it. What do we say about putting the screws in? I think we couldn't do it on Shabbos.
I don't think you could put the screw in.
But you wouldn't be muktzah.
Right.
Providing that you plan on putting it back. It is utensils you want to use. It's part of the glass. You just can't use it right now. It's enough to throw it out. But to put it back in, I think if it easily can be popped in, then that's not a problem.
Right.
If I recall.
So you could pick up the screw. There's an opinion that says you can't pick up the button.
So the screw might be harder to find.
No, because it's part of.
But you're more apt to. Okay. You're more apt to fix the glasses than you are sewing the button on Shabbos.
Right. Okay. So maybe there might be opinions that would say not to. But this would be a big loss because usually you can't replace these things.
Yeah.
It's not a button. Like you go find one of those screws. It's.
Never mind that, but the glasses.
It's not easy. Or the glass. So, the glass itself is very expensive.
Very.
It'd be a big loss.
There's no doors and there's no air roof, and the arm.
You can't carry it.
But you could wear. Sometimes you can wear this portion.
It's just sort of it won't come off.
You can wear it.
The balance. You can balance like that.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. Are you on Shabbat? I know.
Okay. Anything? Oh, here's an interesting one. What if your mezuzah falls off on Shabbos? Right? So it's a big machlokas if you can move the mezuzah.
Oh boy.
If you're allowed to move the mezuzah.
Leave it on.
Therefore, it's advisable not to move it. I know it feels very odd for you not to move a mezuzah.
Don't kick it. Leave it on the floor?
But if the mezuzah is in danger of being defiled, let's say there's a lot of little kids running around in the house, or it's outside and it could rain or things like that, or the goy will throw it out. Cleaning later, it'll just throw it out. So it was a piece of wood, I threw it out, right? Reminds me of an interesting story when I had my garage when I put a new garage door.
Yeah.
So they on the sides they put new moldings over it. So I they're gonna put it on. Then a couple of weeks later I said, where are my mezuzahs on the garage?
It's incorporated.
It's in the molding.
Where's the molding?
The molding's over.
But where is it now? Where did it go?
The molding's there.
Oh, it's underneath?
So I wasn't about to take apart the molding.
No, I don't think
it was like
that.
So I had to give two more mezuzahs. I don't know.
So you have double tzeduki.
Wasn't it tzedukis? No?
Yeah.
They put it inside? If I didn't. First would be Maris Ayin. So I had to do that. So then at least I chopped it when they did the backyard. And they had to do the molding to the back door. I remember I'm taking the mezuzahs off.
But
it's interesting. You have
the mezuzah falls and the cloth separates. You've got the casing and you got the parchment. Can you pick up the parchment?
Again, you weren't planning on touching it.
But it's part.
It's
study Torah.
What? Study. But you're not going to study from that. It's a good question. Usually the parchment doesn't come out. At least it's in plastic.
Yeah.
It's not going to be the bare parchment. No one puts.
I've seen a cover. And you,
sure, they clip in.
So the cover falls off, and it can separate from inside the cover.
It's wrapped in plastic.
It's still wrapped in plastic.
Yeah.
Cellophane. Well, not cellophane. Saran wrap.
Okay. Let's do one last thing. Okay. Window shades and Venetian blinds, which can easily slip in and out of their brackets, and curtains, okay, which are attached by hooks, may, according to some posting, be hung up on Shabbos. Let's say it fell off.
Mm.
It fell off. Can you put it back on? So should these items become detached, they are not muktzah because they can be reattached. Let's say this blind. let's see if this will work for us, I don't know. Let's say, for whatever it is, you pulled it down, the whole, the middle thing fell off. The rolling thing fell off. So you could put it back on, because all you gotta do is go up there and reattach it. It's not a big,
so let's say.
Job. But if on the other hand, let's say the white part where the screws go in, the whole, that whole thing falls off, then that's mutzah, because you can't put it back into that thing.
So what about the you know, some of them, the Venetian blinds, they have those little long plastic rods that you turn them and it opens them and closes them.
Yeah.
So let's say that comes out, it screws in on the top and that comes out on Shabbos. It's plastic.
So what do you want to do? You want to turn it?
Can you put it back in on Shabbos?
I think that'd be Makom HaPatish.
Possibly.
It could be. I would better not do that.
Okay.
You could hang it up, thing falling down.
Uh-huh.
You know, because the whole thing just sags right down, right? Mm-hmm. So if you want it to be dark, you could put it up as it is, the thing down. That's okay. For sure.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure if you could turn the screw and make it.
Okay. Just want to clarify the distinction between the mezuzah and the blind. Is it because you didn't expect the mezuzah to fall off, or because you're not allowed?
You know, I'd have to look. I'd have to look up the original sources for that. I don't know if I can answer that.
But I'm just not sure. You wouldn't expect the blinds to fall off necessarily either. So it's just expectations.
Blinds are a bit more temporary than mezuzah, still.
Yeah, but how often do your blinds fall off? It's not something you plan every Shabbos.
Fall off more often than your mezuzahs do.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say that.
Okay, I don't know. I have to look into that. Okay, Shkoya. All right, so tomorrow we will continue. So we got a little.